You can go ahead and start with a prayer here. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Saint Vincent Ferrer, Saint Jude, Our Lady of Victory, Our Lady of Sorrows, Lady Help of Christians, Saint Ignatius, Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost, amen. So sorry about the lateness here. Meant to make an apology at the end of the Mass for the long sermon. So makes everything late, and so apologize for that. And then now I'll see lastly, this doesn't seem right. Father Leith was in the Doctrine of the Trinity last week. Yeah, because that's still the Doctrine of the Trinity, because it hit that before. I think we're going to have to coordinate a little better here. Because I remember doing that a month ago. But, okay. So then, with regard to the I see, then we're getting ready to hit into the attributes of God. I see. One thing about the blessing, as I mentioned before, about the doctrine of the Blessed Trinity, that's a centerpiece of the whole faith, the doctrine of the Trinity, and that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in the knowledge of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, is all truth. So every truth on earth is in that one doctrine of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God, for all eternity, mentioned a word to you the last time, so we went over this, circumcession. For all eternity, God goes around in a circle, circumcession, inside of Himself, communicating with Himself. The Father is always generating the Son. The Son is always giving thanks, is not giving thanks because there's no gratitude, but the Father as the Son is always returning to the Father what is given to Him, and what is given is always the Holy Ghost. And in the Holy Ghost is the love of the Father and the Son. There's always this movement between the Father generating, the Father and the Son breathing forth the Holy Ghost, a constant movement back and forth. And this movement is circumcession, and in that movement is all truth. So that contained in the movement of circumcession is every truth. So that God does not see anything outside of Himself. Because outside of Himself, there is nothing. In seeing Himself, He sees and knows all things. And all of the attributes of God, we have to go through, all the attributes are based on God's seeing of Himself. God knows Himself, God loves Himself, and God, in His knowledge of Himself, knows all things in that knowledge of Himself. The essential truths of the Blessed Trinity, Father Leith was covering last week the Blessed Trinity, correct? And he should have come on through the two natures, the one nature and the three divine persons, and the two processions. He mentioned the two processions in the Blessed Trinity, and the three persons and the one nature. These are the things that all Catholics should know, that in the Trinity there are three elements. One nature, two processions, three persons. The one nature is the nature of the divinity. The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost are all identically the same God. They are in no way distinct or different from another. The two processions are the movements that take place in the Trinity. The first procession is a movement by which the Holy Ghost, by which the Son is generated. The second procession is called breathing forth or spiration, by which the Holy Ghost is breathed forth or generated. So in this second procession, the Holy Ghost is the fruit, and the origin is the Father and the Son, the Father and the Son. And then with regard to the three persons, which are three relations, they are three relations, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, three persons or three relations, in the Trinity. So one nature, two processions, three persons. And in this God, we go through some of the truths. First of all, it mentions here that the Almighty. That God is the Almighty. Sacred scriptures, in order to mark the piety and devotion with which the most holy name of God is to be adored, usually express a supreme power and infinite majesty in a variety of ways. But he says of himself, I am the Almighty Lord. And again, Jacob, when sending his sons to Joseph, thus prayed for them, may my Almighty God make him favorable to you. The Lord God who is, and who had, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. So the Almighty God. So the first thing that God calls himself is Almighty. In these 12 different attributes of God, which we're going to consider, you need to recognize that in God there is no division or difference of any kind. In God, all is totally one. There is no separation or division in him, but we human beings, in order to come to an understanding of the God, we give certain attributes to him to try to say what he is. Because we can never, in one breath or one moment, grasp that which God is. God is infinite in all respects, and God is united in all respects. But in order for us to come to some understanding of him, we have to speak to him according to certain aspects, because we can only see part of the one that is God. So God is infinitely large. We cannot see the whole of God, so we see a small portion of that oneness, and another portion of that oneness, and another portion of that oneness. And these portions of the oneness we call the attributes of God. But in fact, the attributes of God are identical to one another. There is no difference between the attributes in God. It is only in us that there is a difference. We see the different parts of the beauty of God. The first one is this Almighty or the omnipotence of God. The first relationship of God to a creature, or God to myself, is that God is the one who is all-powerful. That's the first relationship. Everything that I am and everything that is in me is from God, is held in existence by God, created and conserved by God. So the omnipotence refers to God's relationship to me, that God is the one who holds me in existence and all of creation in existence. He created it all out of the same material, which is nothing. He sustained this universe out of nothing. He holds it in existence, and it is only his omnipotence or his almightiness that makes the world to exist. Without the omnipotence of God, the world must fall into nothingness. Omnipotence, potent, the world must fall back into the material of which it made. It is made, which is nothing. And so, this variety of the wisdom of God, that he is almighty, as the object, that God is this perfectly omnipotent being. He who is has the perfect power of over all of creation. It's the first way in which we look at God. And so here, I'm a little bit discombobulated this morning here. So I apologize for that. But in any case, this omnipotence of God. From the omnipotence, we draw all of the other characteristics of God. His charity, his knowledge, omniscience, and so on. So that everything can be rooted back to his omnipotence. He is all-powerful in every respect, whether it be in the realm of knowledge, or whether it be in the realm of love, or in any realm that is good, that any realm that exists in this world, or any property or that exists in this world. Sacred Scripture refers to God as Almighty first and foremost, because before I can have any proper relationship to God, I have to recognize who he is. And the way that he said it to St. Catherine of Siena, putting things into perspective, he said that St. Catherine of Siena was contemplating who God is and who she was in relation to God. St. Catherine was contemplating these things in a meditation, and then our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to her in the meditation. And he said to her, Catherine, you're thinking of who I am and who you are, aren't you? And she said, yes. And then our Lord said to her, I will tell you, I am he who is. You are she who is not. Before we can consider anything about God, the very first thing we must do is put him in his place, so to speak. He is all things. We are no thing. So the first effect of this recognition of the omnipotence of God, or one of the first effects, is what the saints call the foundational virtue of the entire spiritual life, humility. A recognition of the truth. That's what humility is. A recognition of the truth. God is omnipotent. God is almighty. God is, we are not. The word N-O-T applies to us. Everything else applies to God. This is truth. Humility is a virtue by which we simply live by the truth. We recognize the truth. The God, or the Almighty God, is the one who is that is in control of all things. And no word shall be impossible with God. There's the hand of the Lord unable. The omnipotence of God and the impotence of man. This is the first truth that we can recognize about God using our natural reason. Have not yet arrived at the supernatural faith. Just using natural reason, we can know that God is almighty, God is omnipotent, and we are infinitely impotent. We are not powerful in any way. We cannot accomplish anything in and of ourselves. All things that we do depend on something else. God alone is omnipotent. The advantages of this faith in God's omnipotence. With this faith, then, we should especially be fortified whenever we are required to render an extraordinary service to our neighbor or to do any good deed, because we'll have the confidence that God will give us the strength. It's a recognition of a fact. Even our physical strength comes from God. So the strength to walk, the strength to breathe, the strength to do everything that we do as a human being comes from God. Faith just simply recognizes this fact. That's all that it does. With regard to the omnipotence of God, we recognize something that is already true. We do not make God omnipotent in our lives. He already is. He is in total control of every element of our lives. This produces another mystery. We won't go into that, the mystery of grace and free will. But the fact is that even though we have a free will, God is always and in every instance omnipotent. Now, the omnipotence of God does not mean he's capable of doing things. Normally, when we think of something as being powerful, we think he can do things. This is not what it means when we say about God. God is, and God does. The word can does not apply to God. When you can eat, that means you do not have food. When you are totally stuffed, you can't eat anymore. The capability to eat presupposes imperfection. We can eat. We can do things. When we say we can do things, that means we are weak and we don't have everything in ourselves. God has no can in him. He is. When we say he is omnipotent, we don't mean that he can do all things. We mean that he does do all things. He does control all things. No possibilities, no maybes in the omnipotence of God. He does do all things, he is all things, and we are not. In and of ourselves, we're made out of absolutely nothing, just like every other element of the universe. All these elements right here and now are being acted upon by God. Everything. He is acting in order to keep these orange cushions remaining orange. He must act always and everywhere. And this acting always and everywhere is the omnipotence of God. From this omnipotence, we will draw all of the other attributes. His acting everywhere, for instance, in relation to men, when he acts in relation to men, it is love. When he acts in relation to a rock, it's power. Mm. We call it power. Mm. His actions with us are actions out of love, but that love is from his omnipotence. So omnipotence does not mean God can do all things. Omnipotence means God does do all things, and God is in all things, sustaining all things. So the word maybe and can cannot be used in the case of God's omnipotence. We, however, have to have confidence because of our free will. We do not have to believe in God's omnipotence. He already is omnipotent. The souls in hell do not need to believe that God is all-powerful. They experience it. They experience the power of God as they burn in hell. On earth, however, faith makes it possible for us to believe that which is already true. And in believing that which is already true, it benefits us. It is already true that God is omnipotent, that he is all-powerful, already doing all things. When I accept that by the virtue of faith, then I can connect Christ's actions or God's actions to my free will, which is the only place where he lets us be. In every other place, he is in total control. It is only free will that he lets us do what we wish. Even the actions we do by free will, he must make them happen. But the actual free will itself, he allows us to do as we wish. And the advantage of this faith is that we can unite our free will to his omnipotence. And so, I'm going to close it at that for now. And so, sorry about the lateness here and the discombobulation. But this morning I didn't actually, you know, get a chance to look over this, you know, as usual. But one thing I need to do is to note, just let's see that the, just have Father pick up on the page 20, well, I've got it marked here, but page 26 the next time for the catechism. So we'll go ahead and close with the prayer here, and I'll have to get going to Fort Collins, so we'll go ahead and see our prayers. And the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. St. Vincent Ferrer, St. Jude, Our Lady of Victory, Our Lady of Sorrows, Our Lady of Help of Christians, St. Ignatius, and the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.